Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mike and the Mad Dog. Sports Radio 101.9 FM and Sports Radio 66 WFAN.
Here's Eli Manning, folks. How about a nice ovation for him? I should say more than nice. Eli, good to talk to you. Chris and Mike, how are you?
Yeah, thank you.
Why, what'd you do last year? Oh, I'm trying to remember.
Let's first talk cold weather. Let's talk it as I said about Peyton, who saw Plaxico and another receiver drop a lot of passes in warm-ups Super Bowl and was worried that maybe they were not focused enough. And I guess he mentioned it to you, or he was worried about the two receivers in warm-ups in Phoenix. That was in what SI said. Give me your thoughts about that first.
He was just trying to be funny on that. You know, he was just watching warm-ups, and really Plaxico, we didn't know he was game time decision. So in warm-ups, he really didn't do a whole lot. We kind of ran a few routes, but he was still a little tender, and so it wasn't anything.
Nothing to read into.
Nothing to read into. Just kind of him, don't take it. It doesn't mean anything.
You know, people didn't realize until after the game was really played that everyone thought it was typical Plaxico. He's always injured. They didn't realize until after, nor did I, but
nobody
I
knew.
Yeah. I saw Ronnie after the game, and I didn't realize that he really had a serious injury that week, and it was really touch and go whether you guys didn't know if he was going to play the game.
Right. We didn't know whether he was going to play or not. It was a new injury, because he practiced all the practices during the playoffs. He didn't miss a practice. Then, even the week before the Super Bowl, because you have 2 weeks, he practiced all that week. Once we got to Arizona, that's when he hurt his knee. And so, we didn't know. We always go out 2 hours before the game and do our little route tree. I said, you're going to be able to do it. He says, well, I'm going to go out before that and test it out, see how much I can run. And I probably threw maybe four or five routes to him. And he said, all right, I've had enough. I've run too much. So we just kind of let it off from there. I didn't know what his status was, but I knew. He kind of said, I'm going to go. And, I know once you get out there, he was going to be fine, and I was going to trust him to do all his routes, and he did a great job.
You know, I don't know if anybody ever went through two quarterbacks in the postseason, the likes of Favre and Brady, to win a championship. I never went back and looked. Maybe someone did go through two like that once. But the amazing thing before you get to Brady is, Favre and the weather, everyone went into that game and said, Eli's going to have enormous problems with the weather, like anyone would, mere mortal, and Favre, the weather never bothers him. Turned out Favre had even admitted the weather bothered him a lot, and the weather didn't bother you that much.
I don't know. It's a crazy world. I think the best thing I did, I went out before the game, kind of that same thing. Me and Plaxico and Monty always go out and just throw the route tree 2 hours before the game, and I went out there just saying, hey, I'm not going to wear too much clothes. I'm going to kind of wear what I'm going to wear during the game and get a real sense of what it's going to be like. And I kind of told the receivers to do the same deal. So I wore a glove on my left hand. I carry around two footballs the whole time. So I had a hand warmer, but I could never put my hand in it. And we threw for about, we usually throw for, say, let's say 25 minutes. We threw for 7 minutes, and we said, all right, my hands were numb. Both their hands were numb. They were trying to catch everything with their body. I said, this is, we got to go back in there. And right there, I said, I got to stay warm at all costs. Warmth is the number one problem.
So how did you manage that?
I talked to the my managers. I had, heat packs galore in my hand warmer, just those things. Like if you go skiing, you might put in your shoes or put in your hands. I had four of those in my heat pack. When I went to the sideline, I even had a super hand warmers. They both went on each arm. There was like mittens. I had five heat packs in there. I mean, when you took out, they were steaming off my hand. I stood by the heaters the whole game. I never talked to my quarterback coach on the phone because I didn't take the time.
Your thing was, I'm staying warm the whole game.
I'm staying warm because once you get cold, you're never going to get back warm. I say, I'm staying warm. That's the deal. If I stay warm, once you get on the field for that, 10 minutes, you should be, you shouldn't get frozen.
And you never had a drive where you got frozen. Right?
No.
You never did, right?
No. Never had this. Once you're playing, you don't think about it. You're moving around. You're kind of staying warm. It's just on the sideline. Don't sit around. Don't get cold on the sideline. Stand there. Kind of move around, stretch, jump up and down. Just, You know, I just kind of never, you know, I just stood by these heaters the whole time and the other players around there. That was kind of my key to staying warm.
You know, it's funny. On a cold day, Burris got hot. Now, he had that. That is as good with the conditions. I can't think of it in my life. No, listen, it's been great. We all know.
No, that's a great performance.
But he had 10, 11 catches. Now, yeah. I know he fumbled the one going to the end zone, but, I mean, he's allowed.
Right.
That was an incredible game that he had. You got the ball a lot, Al Harris. Did you notice? I'm going to get plaques involved. I mean, sometimes receivers can see for quarterbacks first quarter. He's my man today. Did you notice that right away with him?
Yeah, you know, he was just playing well. Green Bay likes to play a lot of man-to-man coverage. So it's just, you know, Al Harris is on an island versus Plaxico, and they were playing a lot of just single high man-to-man coverage. And really a lot of his completions, he caught 11, I'd say, you know, probably 8 of them were on the same route. And
really?
You have different conversions based on the technique. It's, you know, if he gets over the top of him, I'm going to throw it down the field. We hit one, like, in a two-minute, I threw it down the field and caught. The next one, you know, he dropped. That could have been a big play. But then, you know, a couple times I back-shouldered him. Sometimes you went inside and I threw it line drive. You know, sometimes the corner is off, so he threw a hitch. It's all the same play. It's just a matter of the technique. We ran it, you know, there's four different ways we completed it off the same play. And, you know, he had a great feel. We had a great feel of what they were doing. And, you know, Plexico was feeling it. He was saying the whole time, they cannot guard me. He cannot stop me. And, you know, it's great when you have that receiver with that confidence. And he knew it. And I think Al Harris knew it. He couldn't stop him either.
Right.
We're talking with Eli Manning, of course, here at Giant Camp. Now, no one knows exactly what a score of a game is going to be. But if you put your head, when you did put your head on the bed Saturday night, knowing perfect conditions for a Super Bowl game, you must have had a number in your head. If you had a number in your head, what was your number it was going to take? Was your number, how high was your number to win a Super Bowl game against that offense?
You know, I thought, I knew our defense was playing well, and but I thought we were going to have to score 24 points or at least.
At least 24. You didn't think it was going to have to be 35 or something?
I didn't think so. I knew from the first time we played them it was a high-scoring game, but, right. You know, our defense was just, they were playing so good. I knew they were going to try to get to Brady. I saw some of the things they were doing that week, and, you know, I felt good about the way they were playing. I knew. You know, I didn't want to go into the game thinking, hey, we got to score every down, because that's right. When you get into trouble. We've been playing. I said we don't want to change our philosophy. All the playoff games, we've just kind of been playing not conservative, but just taking our completions, long drives, keeping the ball in our hands. So that was kind of the approach. And you know, the first series, you know, we had the ball for 10 minutes, long drive. We only got a field goal out of it. But that's kind of our approach. Let's keep the ball a long time. Let's keep the ball away from their offense as long as we can. And you know, I thought it was going to take some more you know, points than what it did. But our defense, you know, they did a fabulous job controlling that high-powered offense.
I thought that first drive of the game was critical. And I also thought the play to Boss, because you hadn't had anything for so long. Until the play to Boss.
Definitely, you know, that's really we had a couple of good drives early on, but it didn't get much out of it. We drove down there again, and you know, we had a interception off Steve Smith. I had one where I rolled and fumbled, and it was a messed up. Didn't get, you know, both times we were in scoring position, didn't get anything out of it, and then from then on we got nothing. All of a sudden, the fourth quarter. It was a play we kind of just drew up on the sideline. We had the play in, but I said, you know, they're not guarding the tight end. They're jamming them, but let's just put them in motion. Let's get them off the ball. And, you know, Rodney Harris, they're doubling Toomer. They're doubling Plex. They got one guy on Boss. So let's just get a little play action, see if we can hold them and get them down the sideline, get them down the middle. And, you know, sure enough, they played the coverage they've been playing. We got it. You know, a fake to hold the linebacker enough, and he made a, you know, good catch, and then broke a tackle, got down the field. And, you know, even that same drive, we had a couple other big plays. You forget, we hit Steve Smith on a little hook pump down the
Smith
middle
made a couple
on
the
third,
Smith
on a third
well.
Down,
yeah.
on,
a
on about
plays.
A third and yeah. third and 10 right there. They got us a first down. They yep. got us tight enough to hit Tyree on the touchdown. If you don't convert that third down, you get a field goal.
It was a very big play.
It's a whole new game.
Now, SI did a lot of it, just dissected the specific play. And Jarvis Green, by the way, said, you know what, we thought once you touch Eli, he always falls down. So he was shocked that when he touched it, you stayed up. By the way, I wanted to give you that quote in case you didn't see it.
Okay, thank you.
But, I mean, as far as the actual specific play, they sent a safety towards Smith, which opened up the middle of the field for Tyree. So as soon as you saw the safety go to Smith on a little out pattern, you knew that you had to get the ball to Tyree. Is that the scenario?
Yeah, you kind of once I scrambled, you know, originally I don't know if that was going to be my first read, but after kind of the scramble, I rolled right. I was really looking for Smith, hoping he might be able to get outside and come downhill. But, you know, he was covered, and I saw kind of no one deep in the middle except Tyree and a guy, you know, another defender, you know, just one other guy there.
Did you pick Tyree up even though you were running for your life? Did you pick Tyree up?
Yeah, I just saw, you know, just kind of kept my eyes downfield and you know, kind of just, he only had two guys to that side, so it had to either be Steve or David. So I picked him up, and, you know, if it was the first quarter, I probably wouldn't have thrown that ball. It wasn't a real, you know, high percentage completion, but under the circumstances, 3rd and 5, we need a big play. We need something to go. I said, you know, let's try to give him a shot. You know, I'm not throwing it in the triple coverage. It's just going to be he and another guy. You know, hopefully maybe we get lucky and make a catch or get an interference or something. You know, and I knew David would probably protect me and not let, you know, another guy just intercept it. You wouldn't let, you know, a guy get a free shot at it. And so I thought I had to take a shot, and you know, he did the rest, making
a great
catch.
And what everyone
talks
about that play is, it's not a Hail Mary because that ball's not that high off the ground. It's not one of those just throw it up in the air and it's just like a jump ball situation. That ball's not that high in the air.
Yeah, I didn't want it because, you know, if you throw it high in the middle of the field, other people are going to attract to it. So I wanted to try to, you know, I saw him kind of standing there and the guy behind him. So I wanted to put some, you know, a little juice on it so it's not just a true just jump up and it gets tipped around. So I kind of wanted to get it line drive where it could stick to the hands. And so you know, it just kind of worked out the way.
When did you realize that he had caught it?
You know, I didn't know it at first. I didn't get hit, so I kind of saw, you know, him go down. But, you know, I wanted to go up and try to spike it, you know, so they couldn't challenge the play. But it would have taken too long. Guys are all over. So we had to call timeout under that circumstance. And I kind of walked over to him. And I said, you know, did you catch that? And he said I caught it. But I still didn't know. You know, I've asked receivers that before, and they you know, I see it on the replay, right. Double bounce to him. I'm like, you don't have to lie to me. I can't change the decision. But
you know, the guy who made that call, did you read that in SI? Was a tremendous, was the back judge.
Right.
And he said to his guy right next to him, wow.
Oh, really?
He knew the ball didn't hit the ground, and he's the only official in the NFL who refs in the Arena League.
Oh, really?
And he's a former player and everything else. So he saw
clear
that the ball was – so he knew the ball didn't hit the ground, and you'd have to look at replay to make sure that inch separated the ball from the ground.
It was a great play. Great individual
effort.
And
then, of course, the play to Burris where you thought that they were going to play the slant and you threw the out pattern there, the touchdown.
Yeah.
And it sounds like Peyton, you talk after the game, and he asked you about that, and you guys had a nice conversation there.
Yeah, you know, he was just saying, you know, they finally came after you because, you know, he's played New England, you know –
Thousands of times.
He knows what they do. And they just play, you know, conservative, you know, zone, or they bring everybody. And they said, you know, he finally said they, you know, I talked to Payne. I said, you know, when we get down there, I like it when they bring everybody. Then you got one on one the Plaxico. That's kind of what we're looking for. We usually don't get it that often. So he said they finally brought the pressure where you could throw it. I said, yeah, they finally brought it all, and we had just what we wanted.
You know, you get the lead there, and it's funny as you're sitting there, and I happen to be sitting right next to your parents, which were right behind me in that little luxury box. I was like two rows in front of them. So we had been chatting during the game. And you look around, and you're saying at a game, you know, people are celebrating everywhere.
Right.
And you're watching the sideline, and you could kind of see that you're keeping your eye on the quarterback there because, you know, it's interesting. He made some heaves.
Oh,
one almost was
too
completed.
Close. Too close.
Was almost completed down to, like, the 15-yard line.
Yeah. No, you never, you know, with Brady, with Moss, you never lead them out of making a play. So, you know, people are trying to hand out hats. I said, put those hats away. I didn't talk to anybody. I'm kind of pacing just, you know. I've never been so nervous in my life. And a couple of those plays were, you know, Corey Webster just gets a hand on one to knock it away. You know,
one of them, it looked like right.
He should have had it.
It was almost like he was going to complete it.
Oh yeah, it was very close.
Very good. Again, I keep on referring to this as I read it last night. Interesting. You and your brother both said you're glad you were down 14-10 instead of 13-10. 13-10, you'd be conservative, kick the field goal, lose in overtime. So you, I guess you guys talk about this a lot. I'm glad I was down 4 instead of 3.
Right. We've talked about that before. Just if that same situation, after the play to Tyree, we're on the, you know, 20-yard line or so, it's like, hey, now you're we're in field goal range. We don't have to try to go for anything. Let's, hey, on third down, maybe we run the ball so you know, prevent an interception or something where you just say, hey, let's bring it to overtime. And then you never know what happens either. You never, right. You know, a kick, you know, a 39-yard field goal is not a guarantee by any means. And
four
so,
changes your mentality. Obviously.
Oh yeah, four yeah. says, hey, you got to score, be aggressive, go for it, and you know, we kind of say, hey, at the end of this game, the score is going to be 17-14. That's the only option. That's all we got.
All right. Now we talked to talk about. It. He said, I forgot about the Super Bowl once I got the rings. I'm ready for the new year. Now listen, every time you're going to have to talk to the fans, media. You know, at least the first month or so of camp, we're all going to want to talk about those three or four games. That's all there is to it. That's
sure.
the way he wants to talk. I haven't played a game since.
Right.
So as a result, how does Eli Manning get away from thinking about those three, four games in a postseason and start thinking about 2008? That would be very tricky. I mean, you want to relive the games too, but you also want to think about the new year. How does Eli Manning do that?
Well, I think once you get into training camp, it's a lot easier just to focus on this season because obviously last year is gone. Nothing we did mattered anymore, you know, preparing for this season. Just because you did something well, you know, last year at the end of the season doesn't mean it's automatically going to happen this year. You got to work. You got to get guys. You got new faces. You got to improve on areas. It's not just going to – you're just not thinking, hey, we're going to show up and the same thing's going to happen. It doesn't work that way. So, you know, I think that message has been across from the get-go, from Coach Coughlin, from the teammates saying, hey, guys, we got a lot of work to do. We got, you know, we were playing well at the end of the season, but you look at a lot of games during that season, we were not playing good football. We were not playing at our best, and that's what we want to be, more consistent, you know, week in, week out playing where we're competing, we're giving ourselves a shot to win.
You know, but things have changed, though. The guys who were the old guard are gone. You're now looked to as this is now Eli's team, and it is. You've won a Super Bowl. You've won a Super Bowl MVP. Those are there for a life. Those are now part of your history. They're in, you know, you could say the mortgage
sure.
is paid. I mean, those are in the pocket. I mean, that does change who you are. There's no way around it.
Yeah, but you just can't be satisfied with that.
No, I'm not saying to be satisfied with
yeah, they're
one.
There. Yeah. I mean, that's you know, that's fun. That's
right.
awesome to have.
It has to give
and
you a little
great.
Confidence,
it
too.
Does. It's definitely a confidence builder, but you know, just because you have confidence doesn't mean it just happens. You know, you don't get lazy because of it. You still got to work hard and you know, keep building on that confidence. You know, you can't get overconfident. You always got to build on that confidence. That comes from practicing well, playing well in preseason games, playing well in regular season games, and it's about guys just not being satisfied and myself not being satisfied with where I am as a player and my performance. And during the playoffs, we played well. I played smart, but I want to continue that on a every game basis through the season and raise my level of play and what I can do in winning games.
New York likes champions. They like heroes, though. They never forget. So for you now, it's a whole different thing to even walk around New York City, I'm sure.
It is. It is different. You know, a lot of fans and a lot of people in New York stop you and they tell you where they were for the game and how they reacted and, you know, what their cheers. And you see, you know, from the average Joe guy on the street to a celebrity or actor or somebody, they all kind of have their story about what they were doing and where they were. And so it's fun to hear that. And you know, you don't realize till you win a championship, especially in New York, you know, what it means to the people of New York. What, you know, since I've been there, I've never seen another team in New York win a championship. And you realize what the fans, how much it means when a New York team wins and how much they appreciate it.
And whoever brought that, I don't think anyone's going to run up to it, but whoever used to bring that, Eli was adopted down at the Giant Stadium. I don't think you're going to see it again.
you mentioned...
I used to see it all the time. I don't think you're going to see that. Right? You saw it. Tell the truth.
I mean, that's Minnesota game, maybe.
See? Yeah. You ever think you didn't see it, folks? How could you not see it?
Consistency, you said you want to be better than just four games. How about camp, though? Is there a particular receiver that you want to better, you know, is it Boss? Is it Burris being healthier? Is there something that you want to work on specifically in camp as far as sort of on the same wavelength with a particular segment of this offense?
Yeah, I'd say just, you know, no, there's no mental mistakes. You know, mental mistakes will kill you.
And going to the huddle with delay of games, things
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, those are things like that. But even, you know, just with receivers, with backs, when you're running a play, you know, we do a lot of, you know, you have to read the coverage. You got to read what the defense is doing. And sometimes they give you goofy reads and it's hard. But, like, certain times, you know, I'm expecting a receiver to do something and, you know, they just read the coverage wrong. They said, I thought that was single high when obviously it's Tampa 2, and you're just like, they're supposed to be doing something different. And that's kind of when you, it makes me look bad, it makes their offense look bad, and things aren't right, not on the same page. So it's just trying to, hey, let's just, you know, mentally be in the game, be focused on what you're doing. And that's, you know, if we don't make mistakes, we got a high powered offense. We're going to make a lot of big plays and good plays. Let's just eliminate those bad plays. And those little misreads and mishaps, and that's what stops drives and stops you from, you know, playing at the best level you can.
Does it fuel this team that the NFL, you get almost this feeling that the NFL thought this was kind of a fluky championship, that the Giants somehow, you know, aren't a championship, they somehow stole
a
championship?
A little bit. You know, I think that was something we kind of used to our advantage last year, kind of being the underdog, no one giving us a shot. And it's the same thing this year. We're still,
we're still
kind of, we're not one of the top, you know, five teams in the league for this year.
Nobody's going to pick it to go back to the end. They're going to pick Dallas. They're not going to pick the Giants.
And you know what? That's fine. That's fine by us.
It doesn't help, I think.
Yeah, it doesn't bother us. It doesn't upset us, but it kind of gives us a little fuel, a little, hey, we still got a lot to prove. We got something to prove to all these people.
Great job, Eli. Thanks very much.
Thanks a lot.
Appreciate
Eli. Good to see you. Thank Congratulations. You. Eli Manning, Mike and Chris, Sports Radio 66.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.